Leaflet this morning, 12th chapter of Luke's Gospel, and we'll be looking at verses 35 through 40. Darren, it is nice to see you, and whenever you can, I know you'll hang around because you like these people. That's right. Words of our Lord, be dressed, ready for service. And I like some other paraphrases. It says, be prepared for action at a moment's notice. Keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be a good and glad occasion for those servants whose master finds them watching or staying alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, the master of the house, he will dress himself to serve and will have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. May the Lord add his understanding and his blessing upon his words. My dad, I suppose, had some limitations as a father. Although I'd like to think that my brother and I turned out okay. But one of the things my children remember is that Grandpa would play hide and seek with the kids. But Dad added a comic touch. In their kitchen, my mom kept a quilted roaster cover. Anybody have any quilted roaster covers at their house? Nobody's going to admit it. Now that cover was in the form of a chicken. Well, my dad would put that quilted chicken on his head like a hat and cluck and crow and ba-gaw all around the place as he searched hide and go seek, high and low for those little kids, those children who were trying to hide. And for some fun, a lot of fun, for some reason, the grandchildren thought it was hilarious. Thank heaven. And even just a tiny bit scary, that giant chicken Gramps was after them. And you may wonder why I have a rather an odd sense of humor. Our Savior and Lord in Luke, come on Dave, in Luke chapter 12 is not playing hide and go seek, but he is telling the disciples that for a while he will be away. And yet he is coming again. And when he arrives, he desires that they be ready to meet him. As we look at this passage, let's see today, it is about being ready, being rewarded, rubbernecking, and being receptive. And first we see verses 35 and 36 that speak about being ready. Let your loins be girded and your lamps burning, and be like people who are waiting for their master to come home from the marriage feast, so they may open to him at once. And when he comes and knocks, they will be ready. The Savior wants his servants to be ready and prepared to meet him when he arrives. Now, even today, many Orthodox Jewish people have their weddings at night after sundown. Back in the New Testament days, the weddings were also held at night, and the first rounds of celebration would follow, feasting, dancing, rejoicing. So when the head of the household, the homeowner, would finally get back from the party, it might well have been 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Some accounts of those 2,000-year-old Jewish wedding celebration said they didn't get in till what we would call breakfast time. Also, the Western mind, our American minds on that might think, well, they were must have been quite tipsy when they got home? Not necessarily. It was an offense for a Jewish man to be drunk back in those days, as it is for an Orthodox Jewish man to be drunk in our day and age. Don't use it as any excuse. They were probably sober. Well, he forewarned his servants to be watching for him, and in these verses he told them clearly that he would be coming home quite late, and he hoped for sure that they would be awake and ready to meet him, greet him, serve him at the door. I think of the big farmhouse where my wife and her six siblings grew up, and all bedrooms were on the second floor, but their parents' room was right at the top of the stairs which creaked noisily. So no teen at any time could get home late without being heard immediately. Now listen, you may not have, but I know your brothers. She said, "We never came home late." Well, they were either ready for mom and dad's consequences, or they weren't. In Luke today, Jesus tells the disciples to have their loins girded and their lamps burning. Now, in the ancient Middle East, the everyday dress of Jewish people involved long robes. So when they had to walk or run or work at some task, they would lift up the bottom edge of that long robe and tuck that edge into their girdle, which was like sometimes it was leather, sometimes it was a fabric wide belt across their waist, and that way the fabric wouldn't trip them up when they had a job to do. Lamps back then, of course, were like, well, they were linen wicks floating in little gravy boats of olive oil. And those little lamps had to be trimmed, the wicks had to be trimmed, so they wouldn't burn out as quickly, and so they would not burn way down and set the oil on fire. "When I get back," says the master, "I want you prepared and ready to go, not sleeping, but eagerly expecting me. May I find you loyal and at your rightful work when I come, when I arrive." Now, I do believe that this passage from Dr. Luke speaks of the second coming of Christ, but you know what? I think it speaks for every time we especially recognize and welcome and even are surprised by the Lord's near presence in your life and in mine. Is Jesus preparing his disciples for his return? I think that in at least four ways, Christ arrives to be with us in surprising ways with us right now. In times of joy, he's there to share in our happiness and celebration. In times of grief, he is with us to lead us, reassure us, and bring us comfort and peace. In our day-by-day schedules, in our usual chores and jobs and activities in our homes and with our families, Christ is present, especially when we welcome him in prayer. And through times of difficulty, challenge, and hardship, and heartache, Jesus is very near. Well, is he talking mostly about his nearness to us now or about his second coming? And I'm going to give you a very clear, a very well-thought answer, and that is the word yes. I think he's talking about all of it. His being with us, his nearness, his presence in our lives. We just don't know exactly when the Savior is particularly attending to our needs, our griefs, our joy, but we can be assured that he has in mind that he loves us, that he knows us, that he's aware of all that is happening to us and through us. And that, my friends, is good news. I was impressed when I worked at a factory, the same factory where my dad worked, his 40, 45 hours a week. I was able to have a factory job during the summer to help pay for my college and seminary. And I don't know if those jobs are as readily available as they used to be. Maybe they are, I don't know. But boy, we were fortunate to have that. And I remember getting there a little bit early in the morning, and I saw some of the guys who had been there at that plant for many, many years. They impressed me. They had their toolbox out, open, and ready. They had their work gloves on before the first buzzer sounded. And I thought that was a class act. It really impressed me, and I still cherish it in my memory now. Now, on the other side of things, there was a big church meeting a few years ago, and I was looking forward to one workshop led by a man who had lots of experience in that topic. So I went in very eager to learn, I mean truly ready to learn lots of stuff. The expert strolled in 15 minutes late to a packed room. He turned and announced to us all, "I don't have anything special to say to you about this topic, but I imagine you all know a little something, so we'll just raise our hands and share a few ideas with each other." I was tempted to violence, but I withheld myself. You know, he didn't even pretend to be ready. Gracious, I wanted my money back, but it was free, so I didn't know what to do. When we are prepared, however, to do our duty like good soldiers, ready and set to go, that displays our hearts. That displays what's in our hearts and minds. It means that we value the tasks we do. We value the person for whom we're working. We intend to give our best toward this endeavor because it's what our faithful Savior calls us to do. And when the Lord Christ comes, he'll find us, you and me, doing our duty for his kingdom. Now, maybe that's a question or maybe it's a statement. I think he'll find us keeping at it, staying with it, doing our duty for his cause and his person. The very first church custodian I ever knew was named Bud. Tempted to tell you his last name, but I won't. Bud was our custodian there at Park Avenue Christian Church in Des Moines, Iowa. I was an associate pastor at that time, so I needed Bud's help with all kinds of things related to youth and children's ministries. By the way, keep praying for a pastor of youth and children's ministries to come and be on our staff and bless us, and I know we'll be a blessing to that person. But you know what? I seldom was able to locate Bud. Even though I searched low and high, his car was there, his office corner and desk, they had the lights on. I could see his jacket and his lunch pail, but very, very seldom did I see Bud. Oh man, he could hide. I don't think he was very interested in what he was called to do. Still will we be at our Lord's employ, having stayed faithful, having remained faithful to his orders. Jesus asked, "Will I find you at your rightful work when I come?" May you and I be ready. And second this morning, we will be rewarded. We will be rewarded. And looking now especially at verse 37, "Blessed are those servants for whom the master finds awake when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself and have them sit at table, and he will come and serve them." Isn't this amazing? The Lord is willing to serve the servants. There's an amazing reward in store for those who are already ready and faithful. In fact, if we're believers, we are already encircled with blessings and grace right now. Now, if this passage is about the second coming, then it means that Jesus in his glory will treat you and me to his lavish care. We will be honored and rewarded by the Son of God himself as he personally meets whatever our needs may be. The crown prince of heaven and earth will bend and work to serve his humble servants, the ones who have stayed faithful. I like saying this man's name. His name is Hermann Gunkel. Hermann Gunkel is a German New Testament scholar, and he maintains that this verse is one of the New Testament's most precious promises. How will we be rewarded? I'm not precisely sure. I don't know anyone who is exactly sure. In what ways will we be rewarded? I don't know the totality of that either. I wish 8-year-old Carter knew about that before he wrote his prayer to God. He said, "Dear Lord, if you will send me a real genie and Aladdin's lamp, I will give you anything you want except my money and my new bike." You know, it's a big day for me. Later this afternoon, I'm going to take my training wheels off my exercycle. And we also know today how Christ has already served you and me. He lived and worked and he taught and prayed, preached, worked wonders, then ratified, signed and sealed the whole endeavor with intense suffering, blood and humiliation, excruciating death, and that oh so glorious resurrection. As a result, we now enjoy forgiveness of sins, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the sure hope of life everlasting, and an extended family of faith, the church, plus a worthy focus for today, loving God and loving others in His name. Dear Lord, good Lord, haven't you served us enough already? But the verse declares he will wondrously serve his faithful ones again. And there's the firm call to readiness, the promise of reward, and the caution against rubbernecking. Rubbernecking. Verses 38 and 39. If he comes in the second watch or the third and finds them thus, then blessed are those servants. But know this, if the householder had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house to be broken into. Some good scholars say that when Jesus talks about a house, it's often about the soul, the human spirit, the human soul. And that is a good thing to guard and keep with the Lord's help, isn't it? Now, if a person is rubbernecking while they're driving, for example, they'll be curious about nearly everything except the road in front of them. Oh, they'll probably be looking at the other drivers, reading advertisements along the way, turning back to see what that bulldozer is doing in that vacant lot, craning to neck to see if that's your cousin walking down the sidewalk. Rubbernecking, greatly distracted, taking your eye off the real priority. And while driving, of course, that can be costly. While driving, definitely, that can be lethal. Still, in these verses, Jesus exhorts his people to keep their eyes on the task, no matter what else or who else is sticking out their tongue, sloughing off, causing trouble, or napping the whole day away. God's people are always urged to stop rubbernecking and stay at it. Persist, persevere, press forward with their focus on the Savior. Readiness, reward, rubbernecking, and being receptive. Being receptive today to how God is getting through to you. The 40th verse, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. You must be ready for the Son of Man who is coming at an unexpected hour. If this passage from Luke 12 is about the second coming, it holds true. And if these verses are also about here and now, they hold equally true. Because the Lord is often attempting to get through to me and you, to get our attention, to strengthen our faith, extend our love, bolster our hope, extend our ministry that each one of us has uniquely. Jesus, this hour, is wanting to develop in us wisdom, compassion, faith, and moral strength. Now, yes, we affirm he will come again as history's grand finale, but the Spirit of God often is seeking to win even more of our hearts today. Christ comes to us again and again and again and over again, and for that, we can be so thankful. Has there been a serious trouble in your world lately? Could you gently ask how God would like you to use that crisis to develop your soul. Maybe there's been an amazing blessing that's entered your realm lately. Could you simply pray about how God is wanting to shape you and maybe others through that good fortune? If there's been some concern on your heart, then could it be the Master is wanting you to exercise your faith and trust Him in a brand new way? Dear friends, Jesus will come again, and the Savior does enter your life and mine repeatedly. This hour and in countless ways throughout, He arrives afresh. Are we receptive? Do we listen for His still small voice? I ask myself and I ask you, are we seeking His approval? God's priceless smile on Sunday, August the 11th, 2019. Let's work on being receptive. Minimize our rubbernecking, relish our reward, and always aim to be ready. Amen. Thanks be to God.